This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
So we'll get started here. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back from Cheyenne, Mr. Chairman.
Is it a welcome
back?
Is it truly a welcome back?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys got some stuff going on there. Yeah. And I think we all know everybody, but I would like to introduce Councilman Jack Wood from the City of Sheridan and Councilwoman Bev Lightman from the City of Sheridan. They have chosen to bless us with their presence this morning because I think they would like to entertain the idea of trying to get the city-county meeting started in Sheridan County. So,
thank you.
They kind of wanted to see what it was and welcome back from Cheyenne as well. We'll just go ahead and jump right in. Semi-quincentennial committee and events. If I can say that really big word.
Three times?
You're lucky you got it once.
So, correct. Mr. Mayor, this is a carryover from December, and I do have a couple of copies, or if it was in your packets, of the handout. So, America is going to turn 250 next year, and the Wyoming legislature and the governor are trying to prepare the state for these celebrations. And there are a few folks at this table that maybe remember the bicentennial in
1976. You want to tell us about
it? Anyway, in 1976 was the last time there was a committee formed. They did a community enhancement project, which was the old sports complex, which was called Bicentennial Park. There's actually, if you would like to go back and read what was done in Buffalo and Johnson County, all of that has been archived and is at the American Heritage Center at the University of Wyoming. Unfortunately, I don't have this community guide yet that I can give you because this is a draft, but as soon as it's approved, I will get that to the City of Buffalo and also to the town of KC. And I'm going to forward also a PowerPoint presentation that Sandy Newsom, who is one of the co-chairs of this, she's a former legislator from Powell, is working on. So there will be up to $5,000 in state funds available to each county for some sort of project, anyway, that's kind of broken down in that community guide. But one of the things that we're asked to do is to create one committee for our entire county to organize the efforts. That needs to be created by resolution. So in the next couple weeks, the county will consider a resolution. We're happy to share that draft with the city. We'll also take it to the town of Casey. And that is done to force folks to coordinate. Our understanding is up in Sheridan, you guys have a little bit of problem, and that the two of the Sheridan County commissioners didn't want to participate. And so their commission was unable to pass their resolution. So they're kind of in limbo, but I'm hopeful that they're going to move forward with their plans. There's going to be, I guess, $1.3 million put out statewide. So there may be some additional opportunity for funds, but really this is, we got to get working on this now because 2026 isn't that far away, and the governor will, I think, kick it off on Statehood Day this July. So that'll really begin the run-up of this process until July 4th, 2026. So any questions, thoughts, suggestions?
Nothing as of yet.
Okay, you know.
How many people need to be on the committee?
It doesn't say. I think probably the broader you can get, certainly hopefully our folks from the JCTA and some of those other organizations can be brought in to help coordinate. I think it would be great to involve our museum, our library. They have a great historical collection of different things. So just as I think the more people that we can get involved in the process, the better celebrations we can have for the 250th anniversary of our country. So that is really as much as I know. There's a little quick on the back again, quick overview on what those grant funds that could come back to us can be used for. You know, I guess I just was thinking maybe this would be a wonderful time to rekindle efforts to complete the sports complex, because that was the original Bicentennial Park, and maybe you give it the name back.
I've had several calls and was thinking this would be an opportunity to actually get a dog park in Buffalo.
That would be wonderful as a dog lover.
I think we have a dog park at Love's.
I haven't been up there, but really not, you know, it's like for one dog. Okay. Sheridan has some nice dog parks.
We have three.
There's a split vote right there.
We tried the dog park once. I remember how that went.
Ask Travis Lawrence.
Exactly.
He got beat up.
But that was a different time. Right. I don't have any issue with the dog park myself.
As long as there's no rabbits.
I keep rabbits out or my dog.
Sometimes we have to make hard decisions for the betterment of the quality of life of our citizens. I know people from Buffalo that actually travel to Sheridan to take their dogs to use their dog parks. And while they're there, they are buying groceries, they are gassing up, and they are eating at restaurants.
Mm-hmm. I was also thinking that there's that corner piece across from Buffalo Apartments on Bird Street.
That would be gorgeous.
It would be connected to the park. You know, it would be one block off of Fort Street, accessible by tourists. I mean, I think it would get use there.
The one behind Karen's place?
Mm-hmm. Not a real ideal place to build anything on. It does have, it's has water, so water could be supplied for dogs.
My dog won't drink out of the creek.
Rock Springs has a great dog park. They got a little pond in it, which is great, but then you got to put away a dog in the car.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are outstanding. It's really nice.
Maybe the city will forward a dog park as their idea for the semi-cinquennial celebration.
I think the city did.
Again, I've had several citizens contact me about that.
Anything else on the committee and events? Maybe approved.
What was the information from the Bicentennial that you said is down in Cheyenne? Is that accessible, like online information?
So it's in Laramie at the University, at the American Heritage Center. I don't know exactly what format it's in, Jackie. We just know that after that process, they went around and collected all of the committee's works across the state and saved it for posterity, so whether it's a PDF or a searchable database, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Kelly, no. Legislative updates.
So I asked Bill to provide this, but in your packet, I did include the WAM tracking worksheet. This is what we found at wyoming.org. And I would ask Bill also to review it in case there's some place that we've forgotten or we have a different one.
I'll give you folks some shared in a copy of our handout.
And I am happy to make available anybody that is interested in the WCCA's version of the same thing. So
I would love that.
Okay. Just a couple of important things up this morning. If you could all reach out to Barry, there is a bill on third reading in the Senate this morning. This is Senate File 60. This is a rather interesting bill because it's looking at trying to find some permanent alternatives to direct distribution. So what this does is takes the 4% of the state's portion of the sales tax and moves the state's share from 69% to 65%. And it will provide a monthly payment of roughly $40,000 each month that will be broken out over the population of each county between the county and the cities on a per capita basis. It also then moves the portion of the state's share of the out-of-state sales collection, so think Amazon and everything else, and it increases our share of that from 29.5% to 35%. So between those two changes, you're looking at a fiscal impact for local government in fiscal year 26 of $38 million. In 27, 39, and basically 40 the following year. It's not a perfect solution, but it's at least a step in the right direction. Representative Harshman yesterday did file his bill to eliminate property taxes and replace it with a sales tax. Here's the problem. Again, we reduce property taxes by $487 million, but you only backfill with $204 million in sales tax. So you're looking at a 50% reduction in your property tax revenue for cities, towns, and counties. On Thursday, we were able to kill a prohibition on the taxes of some services. This was House Bill 124. That was going to be a $55 million hit to local government. Presently, Senator McEwen has a bill that would remove sales tax on electricity. That's going to be a $21 million hit annually to local government. And the kind of the biggest benefit or benefactor is data centers. They don't pay a lot of property tax, but that is one area where you're able to collect revenue off of data centers. There is an important bill up this morning. This is Representative Craigos, and Marilyn Connolly has a mirror bill in the House. We're not optimistic that there is going to be a budget. So Barry has drafted essentially the fire suppression and mitigation portion of the governor's supplemental budget request, plus added a little additional money.
Is that the $130 million you wanted?
It is. So, this request that Barry's put together is $162 million. Anyway, it's going to be heard in the Senate Ag Committee this morning. I want you guys to be aware that we're already feeling the ripple effects of the executive orders coming out of Washington. We had 18 landowners sign up for a grazing deferral program. The fastest way to recover those lands out there is to keep the livestock off of them for a year or 2 years. This would provide some direct payments. $2 million that was going to come in to help those folks navigate that so they could maybe rent other pasture, buy additional feed so they could defer grazing on it. That money is now gone. I got a call last night from our weed and pest supervisor. They were anticipating some EQIP money from the Bureau of Land Management to deal with weeds. That money has now been sucked up and is gone. So the only opportunity we may have to help ourselves and help the impacted agricultural producers in Johnson County, as well as the wildlife, our travel and tourism, is through Senator Craigo's work to actually get some dollars on the ground to help people. So if you have any interest in recovery from the House Draw Fire, reach out to Barry, help him as he's pushing that along, especially as we get it over to the House side.
What's that number?
It is Senate File 148. And it could be that it was filed late last week. As we watched discussions on the budget deteriorate, so it may be
And I think this is, as our legislative committee meets, and they meet Tuesday mornings, so they're meeting right now at the same time.
Yes.
I bet it will be added.
Yes. And that's, we update, for folks that don't know, we update our bill status sheet as additional bills are done. Because we can't do full bill review with not all the commissioners down there, our bill review committee does it, and the executive board signs off on it for support from the commissioners. You have multiple property tax bills. The majority are not backfilled. There was one in the Senate that the Senate Revenue Committee stripped the backfill out last week. So I'm not optimistic. The only other thing that I'll share, two Fridays ago, and it is legislative, but it's not legislative because there's discussion on the gravel pit outside of Casper on Casper Mountain. We were able to sit in, and I don't know if WAM provided an amicus brief or not. The commissioners did, but the Supreme Court arguments over the glamping in Teton County, they were able to take a portion of state land, ignore all of the local land use rules, and set up a glamping operation. And so the Teton County Commissioners sued the State Board of Land Commissioners, and the arguments, I think it was very positive for local control. The state didn't have a lot to say about why they should be exempt from water quality permitting, from electrical inspections, from health, welfare, and safety. So I'm hopeful that we'll get a positive decision out of that. And that's good. That's all the voice I've got, unless people have questions on legislation.
Thank you, Chairman. Any questions? Okay. St. Francis Animal Shelter optional 1% sales tax invoices fiscal year 25.
This is just a minor thing, and I guess I'm looking more for direction from council, but I bring the county commissioners in because we've both received, in our optional 1%, we both are giving them $5,000. So in October, the county had gotten an invoice for $5,000. And it's for what, you know, they said to be paid for. We got the same invoice on January 16th. If you look through it, it's the same backup documentation. The total invoice is $6,400. They're requesting their $5,000. I say we pay the difference between the $5,000 that the county paid and the $1,400 because, I mean, yes, they're getting $10,000 from us, but if the expense isn't there, it's for the spay and neuter program. So unless they can provide other invoices, if that is okay with council, I'm just going to process it as the difference.
And one would think that they will have another set of bills that you could cover.
Because this was through, I mean, if they had this available in October, I would think from October through June, they would have enough invoices from that. I think it's just, maybe a little more effort needs to be put in with their backup.
So you're saying we should pay the $1,434.17?
Yes.
And then there potentially could be more bills coming between now and June 30th.
Yep, because there
are. Has been approved already.
Yes, because we have allocated $5,000 to that. We'll just pull $1,400 and pay them.
Right.
We don't have to supplement the budget then.
No. The money's there.
It's already there. It's already there.
And I guess my request for both Kristen and the city is you're processing these. I'd like an explanation of, with these dollars, you know, I see codes for a certificate. Is that for rabies? Is that... So if they could tell us that with these funds that we spayed 37 cats, 6 dogs, a crocodile, and just exactly, Hey, don't discriminate. Well, you can use your spay neuter. There might be some husbands that end up out there.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I will tell you initially the invoice that came, and Kristen caught this. They were invoices that were listed from the prior fiscal year. And so we said, no, we need current invoices that affect, you know, since the beginning of the fiscal year. And they did do that. But these are all Spain, but you're right, we don't know what they're...
So I guess a little more clarification or supporting documentation to show so we can justify where these dollars are going. Because it's a great program.
We needed that direction, you know, so that we know what to request. Because there will be, I don't know, did you guys give money, allocate money for the vaccinations too?
So when they did submit the invoice, it was the spay and neuter and the vaccines were all together, and the county awarded them some separately. And so I asked them to separate them out, how the money was awarded to separate it out. And I did ask them to describe how many neuters did we do, how many vaccines did we do. We don't understand these codes, so please detail it out. I'll get back. I can send you the version they gave back to me that was satisfactory.
So have you guys paid some vaccination stuff?
As far as I know, we paid them their award money that they were requesting already.
Because we were invoiced at the same time, the exact same stuff before. We haven't paid them anything. Because I guess you guys pay the bill first, and then we'll pick up whatever.
Is this $6,400 correct? Because I mean, you mentioned that, and I see there's stuff here from before the fiscal year, from February, March of last year.
We took that out, I believe, if I recall.
It looks like it's about $350 or something. About that total. I'm missing something.
Yeah.
The invoices that we approved for the county were for the fiscal year. We made them draft.
Right. And that would have been an easy call because it was $5,000. The total invoice is $6,400. So rather than us paying the $14 difference, we should take out those from the prior year, those four or five invoices at the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be less.
What I have.
Okay.
And then we'll just cover the rest as the bills come in for the rest of the fiscal year.
Yes. That's all I had on that.
Okay. Any questions on kitties and puppies and alligators?
You never know.
Crocodiles.
All the salt water up here.
We've got salt cedar. You can have salt water.
That's fun. Next item on the agenda is discussion of 1% allocation amount for optional 1% committees.
So I know we set this by resolution every year, and it's time to set that. I'm not asking for your dollar amount. I just think that I think we usually do that in February. Maybe the second meeting you guys do yours, and we also. One of the things that I think we need to keep in mind, especially if any of these property tax relief bills go through and there's no backfill, if it's cut 50%, right now we've budgeted $575,000 in property tax. If that's cut in half, that's what, $282,000? That's less than the $396,000 that we got 5 years ago. I mean, so that's a huge haircut. A lot of times that council looks to this optional 1% funding. So while it was growing, we're just getting more pushback on us, just like when we lost the YDOT Main Street money of $100,000 several years ago. It's just hard to stretch those dollars, those general fund dollars. So I guess I'm asking for be conservative in your number. And I'll put together what we've done in the past several years. And this is just the amount that goes to the committee that interviews all the outside agencies or the agencies that we don't have a hand in the management of. Trickle down effect.
Any questions on that?
No, Julie, have you seen the latest sales tax report?
I know Jackie is calling me about from Jackie is calling me about. Is that the report you're talking about? That just the sales tax numbers are, they seem up, you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen it from Carla, so I didn't know if you guys had gotten it from the state yet or.
No.
Any more questions on 1%? Hearing none. Round table, Commissioner Shelley.
No, I see on here we do have an open house on February 6th at the high school. So I'd urge some of the city council people to attend that meeting.
That's on Richardson Park.
Yes,
so we're on
Richardson Park.
Stuff. Is that everything?
Yep.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Mayor, I don't have anything unless there's questions about any legislation.
Fecal theater in China.
I don't have anything.
I believe, Meyer, you're on their agenda with that wetlands meeting on Saturday at the library at 1 p.m. They've been supposedly trying to get all the people to the city and haven't heard anything. And I forwarded their email out again yesterday. They emailed us back in December before I was on council, looking for some sort of feedback. But I was a little confused. They're saying no one's saying anything to the city. I finally looked at the agenda and you're on it. I'm like, well.
My piece on it is how it benefits the trail system.
Sure.
Since I'm leading.
Yeah, I saw that on there. And then I did talk to Scott and it sounded like he was thinking of going, but.
Yeah.
Kevin will be there.
Kevin will be there. Okay, I hadn't heard back from him, so good. Okay, there we go. And they'll maybe come stop talking to me all that.
And Mara, is that going to look at some of the access issues and what's going on?
I think it's more pointed is that we really need to keep it up via the MOU, that the agreement and how it was established, and then the benefits of it and why it's important that we maintain it and keep it and preserve it.
We hadn't, from what I understood, we haven't been following that for some time.
Just the past year.
Well, it's just the
We just missed a fall fill, is what we've missed.
It's a lot different than what was being said to me, mm-hmm. So that's good to know.
A 1 o'clock meeting on the Saturday,
yeah.
To say, hey, I think you forgot to fill the pump.
Yeah.
And is this wetlands here, wetlands out there, or which of all your ponds?
I think it's over by the BLM.
Was that one due to that waterline issue?
Yeah.
Do you guys typically fill that using cider, or how do you get the water out there?
I'm not sure.
Because I
it's
do know
the raw water line, because that
yes.
had to go
okay.
down and
yes,
took down the golf course.
Yeah,
I mean, so everybody should come to the meeting and just
yeah, that,
chew us
the
out.
Agreement that was with their agenda talks about the raw water line was done when the update to the water treatment plant was done. That was all part of that agreement. That was one of the paragraphs that I was able to finally read yesterday outside of my 93 emails.
Good. What's your reading?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that tied in the the old track up there, because we didn't have water up there. I believe the high school got hit too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
It was the raw water line.
Yeah,
it was
it's,
broken.
It's just one of those things.
That was tied to the golf course's concern about we took away their water.
Ah, your problem.
We're just terrible people. I mean, yeah. Just take care of our
water. All right, so then, because at one point, the ditch rider for Snyder Ditch was concerned because he thought maybe the city had cut a little hole in their berm and was letting a little of their water to fill those ponds. And if you know who the ditch rider
is, I'm going to write a book of the conspiracy theory, what happened really.
It's Rick Myers, so he was sure that.
That's exactly what happened.
That we would maliciously do that.
While you were starting another war, you were still in his water.
I love it.
How do you look at the, I should ask this before, but how are they going to reconcile all those property tax depends on everything else. And either you gotta pick which one you're gonna support, or I should say pass, and then operate under that basis. Assuming the others don't pass, but if they do pass, I mean, I looked at it this week or last week, and I thought, I've never seen a deal where you got the same problem being treated in different ways, and there's no, I don't know, do they have anything in the text of these bills that says this is going to be, or this is appropriate only if this bill doesn't pass or something like that?
Mike, this is why it's so important that you have effective legislators and chair people.
Yeah.
And you are spot on. You have bills that are working their way through the process that would be in conflict with each other.
Yeah.
And my experience in the past is we've dealt with property taxes. Everybody would file their idea on how to fix property taxes. Then the speaker would queue those up or work with the chair, and they would consider three or four property tax bills on one day, and the best bill would rise to the top.
Yeah,
and that's not what's happening.
No.
You have competing bills on either side. There's not a lot of coordination, and this is also the first time that I've seen that there are committee bills that were worked over the interim that have not even been referred to committee yet. And my question to the legislature is, why did you force all of us to travel through the interim to provide testimony on these bills, cost the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars to do the interim, if you're not going to move the bills? We should all just stay home and been productive.
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't even want to look at that stuff until the last week of the legislature.
Seems like we saw one in the House, you know, talking. It was the one that Yannon got up quite a few times, and they were trying to figure out a way of how do you give breaks to the homeowners, but not to the ones that own property but don't actually live in the state, versus, and then they figure out a way to backfill 1 year, but it's like, well, what's 1 year?
Yeah, that's permanent tax with the backfill for 1 year.
Yeah, we all heard, Chris Shock said in Claremont, and he's not alone in the smaller communities, that you make that massive cut and you cut direct distribution, and he said he's got 3 years and 9 months left, and Claremont unincorporates, and he's not the only one that's thinking that.
No, I worry very much about what this could do to the town of KC.
Absolutely. Same boat.
Yeah,
as Claremont.
All small towns.
They have
in this town
2.5-3 employees.
It's a financial nuclear bomb.
And that they have to worry about that when they're already stuck with this federal mandate of the lead and copper rule and all of the work that they have. That takes a very nervous Councilman Knapp up another level.
Knapp. That's only his wife goes by Knapp.
I would like some direction from, we just issued a liquor license to the Zip Trip, and they're wanting to replace some of, or not replace, just take the contents out of some of their shelves that have the pop and water and all that, and they want to put beer in there right now. They're ready to go with that right away. So my understanding statewide is that we license the room, but before, the old law was that it had to be, we licensed the building before, it had to be in a room, but we do have ordinances that they have to close at 2, and then they can open again at 6, and then on Sundays they can't open until 10, and they have to close at 10. So is that they just stop selling? I've been visiting with them to say, could you put locks on those cases? And that at whatever time it is, that's how you can prove that it's, not only could you say, you know, it didn't sell, and of course there will be testing, right, with the compliance and whatever, you go in and somebody tries to buy at 3 a.m. and, you know, they get ticketed, whatever. But I don't know what, how do I advise them? Am I overstepping to say, I think to satisfy the, they have to close at whatever time and not reopen, I think they should be locked.
Well, I think we follow the consistency of what our other establishments have done. Like even the IGA, everything's behind that counter. I mean, it's just not open for public to grab, as same as the Sinclair, the old Maverick.
Okay.
I mean, they have a beer cave. It's a different room. It's a different area. So it allows different access.
For the beer, not for the liquor.
Well, because what was their long-term plan? Were they going to do a separate thing like the old Maverick has?
I thought in their write-up they talked about a beer cave.
A beer cave, and then they were going to put in a sit-down dining-in area.
Yes, they're just wanting to put it to work now. But and I guess my thing is I don't know what are we allowed to.
I don't know if we're, I don't know if there's anything in the statute that tells us how they display it.
Yeah.
I think they just can't sell it.
Because I think the whole reason the others are that way, and it's across the state, because they were in existence under the old rules. And then nobody said, oh, great, we're just going to tear down our walls because, you know, it was handy for them. And I actually think, you know, it needs to be their decision and just encouragement from us. But they're working to do it the right way, too.
Yeah, you could just suggest, hey, this is what it's been done other places. That's what I would suggest to prevent something from
or happening. Ask what safeguards, and then just allude to this is what other places in town are doing. You know, so you're not saying you need to. But
it was actually Bison Beverage that put them on it. They said, we don't do this anywhere else. Everywhere else it's in a room or whatever. But that's because of the...
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing in their other stores?
Well, remember, the rule changed.
The rule changed.
So ever, this is just a new...
Because it used to be like the Outback thing, when they had that second part. They could not serve in another area because it had to be the same area. That changed a bit.
Because if everybody can remember, the legislature gave us back control. So you could have actually enacted more strict standards that were in place. And I think that... The consensus was between Buffalo, KC, and the counties that we wanted consistent so that you didn't drive.
Well, we brought Sheridan over when we talked about that.
Yeah.
We said, do you want them driving to Sheridan after they've been drinking here? And
so I think, you know, we got rid of the definition of premise, but I still don't think that you can have it in a way that there's free access to minors to grab
or steal.
Yeah, so I don't think having it in the cooler next to the iced tea, I don't think that meets the spirit of what was passed by your ordinance.
Yeah, it was different at the time. You're thinking they have to remodel the store to build that.
Well, depending on the remodel.
And that's what Bison is saying. Can the door swing out, or do you have to go access it from behind?
Yeah, it's pretty common in other states that you walk through and go, here's your beer, and then...
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're looking
at. But it's on an employee to not sell it when you're not supposed to, you know, whatever that time is. If they're open, I mean, I guess every place is different. But...
They're just waiting on some direction from us.
What does your city attorney think?
He'll get back to me.
That's, I think, where you've got to go.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Other states, is there, you've got convenience stores that are open all night long and they have to stop selling at 2 a.m. They stop selling at 2 a.m. That's just the way it is. And it's setting out right out when you walk in of whatever that cell is. You know, but it's pretty common other places. It's not abnormal.
Well, thank you. I just, because I know you guys may have this come up too, and we will want some consistency.
Madam President.
I'm good.
Madam Clerk.
I don't have anything unless the commission would like to be nice enough to give us their 50% of the money out the HHRs. Hey, you never know unless you ask, Chairman. Right?
You've rendered him speechless.
No's an answer. No's an answer.
Dreaming.
That was a big no.
Looks like Eddie's been winning it all.
I suppose you've heard, but Housing Solutions on Missoula won WCDA contract for the 24-unit apartment complex they proposed on McKinney and North Bypass using low-income housing tax credit. So they'll be starting on that this summer, I'm sure. They said it would be moved within 6 months. So.
And that's, is that closer to McKinney or is that closer to
It's right Central? On the corner there. It's in the Tom Martin property. You know, and it's all that vacant land.
Across the right. Fire. Right.
Oh. Congratulations. Good job.
It's a step forward. I'm ecstatic.
Larry, can you enlighten us a little bit about the what constitutes low income? Because, you know, one of our biggest concerns is needs is those nurses, teachers, young professionals that are going to start at the BLM, the Forest Service. Are they going to qualify? Or are they going to be boxed out because they will make too much money to qualify?
Yes.
So what's the income thresholds to qualify for
it's,
this?
I've forgotten if it's 60 or 80, but I think it's 60% of AMI, which just in rough numbers is $66,000 a year. Then it's adjusted up if you have kids or two of you, but it's a household income. And so what happens at 66%, you leave out all of the people you just mentioned. And that's what we, in our group, is in housing world, we're calling the missing middle, which is
workforce.
80 to 120%, which is workforce housing. And it doesn't fit that, but like one guy kind of reminded me after I was kind of grassing about not hitting what we want to do, he said, "Wow, it'll free up some housing in town, you know, because what
Maybe.
Those units will be desirable and there'll be other places that'll free up. So the market will churn a little bit and maybe we'll end up with some housing that can be, you can think of as fitting those needs, but it's a step forward, but it's just not all the stuff that I want to take. But I'm trying to find missing middle housing dollars, but there really are no programs for that development. You know, you go to the HUD and rural development and all, there's money, but not to build it. Like the CDBG, those grants are 80% AMI max. But the nice thing about that is only 51% of the homes have to fit that category. So now you got 49% that can be above that. So we're trying to work on ways to get missing middle. That's our goal, and this is at least a step forward.
Thank you.
Pardon?
Thank you.
Oh.
Anything from Sheridan?
What do you want to know? Actually, what we're working on right now is revising our M1, M2 zoning in Sheridan. M1 being light industrial, M2 being heavy industrial, and uses that would be allowed in one or the other designations. It's been a long process. We started this. We're looking at our entire zoning code. It really needs, it's antiquated,
and we need to do quite a bit of review. So the two options that we undertook as staff and council was downtown district, and we came up with the downtown district overlay that limits gambling in our downtown district. And then our M1, M2 for heavy industrial and light industrial. We are moving forward with our M1, M2. We're pretty close to our first reading on that. And we've already passed our downtown district overlay. And then I'll let Jack talk about our fire department master plan.
Oh boy, that's a big one.
Yeah, we have a fire department master plan. We have a short-term, middle-term, long-term ideas. And we're thinking on passing the master plan as the way I look at it, just guidelines. You know, they can come through and say, well, it's in the master plan, we do this and this. But to me, it's just guidelines, because they're saying we need like 9 more firemen, we need a training facility, we need this, we need that, well, you know, money. Got to have money to do all that. So, but I think they've got some really good ideas in it, and so we do want to pass it so we can look back on that and just kind of see where they're at and what they want and what we can do for them. But I think it's a really good idea, and I am going to go for it. The only thing I would like to all of you to do, and especially your legislature, is to make sure you let them know we need to get control on gambling. We're having an issue with gambling is moving into Wyoming really fast and hard. We don't have any laws and regulations. We have hardly anything. They can come in this year and go to the county, and the county can say, yeah, you can put a casino in. They go into Sheridan and put a casino in, and the only thing we can do to regulate it is zoning. That's all we have. We have nothing else. We can't. And what I'm looking at is we need to have local control, and we also need to have a better revenue service. The state's charging online gambling only a 10% fee of the net income. The standard is 19%. I brought it up to the governor yesterday when he was in Sheridan. Why don't we charge 19%, give that 9% back to the community so they can support their fire and police departments? Trying to get something legislated takes forever, but he said continue to write letters and let them know that we need local control of the gambling that's going on, because they're bringing in live horse track races. Online betting is worldwide, and it's crazy, the money that comes in. And we have no control. And they come into your town, by the time you get something lined up, it's already too late. So I would suggest you really get a hold of your legislators and tell them that the gambling, we need to have local control.
Can you guys go to that gaming commission panel? That was interesting.
Yeah, we at WAMA, they were there and talked to them.
Right, that's where
we're at. Yeah, and we've talked to the lawyers, and talked to the governor yesterday, and the charity. He agreed. We're way behind the time. And we're catching up, but by the time we catch up, it's going to have such a foothold that we need to really start looking at it now. And you guys are in a prime position to have casinos too, which you'll bring your revenue, but you also got to watch where they're at and what they're doing, and you need to have control.
Press?
Nope. Anything else from the team? Follow up on what Commissioner Shelley said, Richardson Park open house, February 6th at 6 p.m. at the high school auditorium. Should be an interesting meeting, so be there. It could affect us physically and financially, depending on how it goes. Here at the city level, we need to work on getting that sewer line up there to them. And then the next council commissioner breakfast is February 18th, and I do believe Mr. Chair,
it's our turn.
Your turn to buy breakfast. Anything else for the good of the order? Commissioners, I wish you a good meeting today. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And I do want to compliment the WAM staff. They have really stepped up. So whoever was involved in transforming your folks, it's nice to not sit in a hearing and have representatives of WAM say, well, yeah, what this county said. So, well done.
You're welcome.
We have a fire permit. We have a fire permit. That was good.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.